I'm going to just make an attempt, and then I'm going to try to make us move on, because I personally believe for the good of the whole group, we need to spend time on the last part of this chapter. This hymn that we just sang said that when we're in heaven, we're going to be perfect. We're not perfected yet. We don't have total understanding yet. So we need to pray for the Lord's help for us to understand the scriptures. Now, when it comes to the old man that we've looked at, we've seen over and over that he's not dead. He is crucified. His power has been annulled. We find these terms again with the old man in the chapter, the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Okay, that is in the aorist tense. It's a thing that is done at conversion, okay? And that we have put on the new man, okay? Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, I don't want to confuse that old man with the nature, the flesh. I'm still in it. I mean, it is still in me. I'm not in the flesh, but the flesh is in me. It will assert its head. If you don't believe it, don't take my word for it. Go to the Word of God. Old Testament saints were born again just the same as New Testament saints were. What happened to Lot? Here's Abraham. Here's Lot. What happened? There was a man who belongs to God. We know that. But he went down a path that seems to have been governed by the fleshly or the old nature that he had. He first of all just did a very small thing. He just looked at those well-watered plains, so it began with his eyes. But after he looked at them again, pretty soon his tent is just looking toward Sodom. Pretty soon he's living there. You want to come to the New Testament and see another, what I believe was a believer, Demas. Demas is called a fellow servant. But Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. A brother, we believe, who has two natures, who has the same conflict that you and I in this room have. And we find that he didn't feed the bird. He apparently fed the pig, and pretty soon when he fed the pig, he went in the direction that the pig would take him. We're not saying that Demas was lost, but we're saying that he made, in the language of Paul, spiritual shipwreck. A believer can do that. So, if there's more questions after this meeting, it's good. Let's take them up at the lunch table on this particular subject. But let's, for the good of all of these in the room, let's get the positive aspects, probably beginning with verse 26. I don't want to overstep. You're going to have to look these things yourself. Verse 18 is that accounting term again, the reckoning. And so I have a real attitude given to me by God toward the sufferings that come to me in this world. I reckon them not worthy to be compared. Well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? No, I'm not even going to look at the difference. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory which is to be shown to us. But then I come to verse 26 that we've read. And I found that the Spirit of God is the one who is given to me to help me in these struggles. It says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses. Have you ever been in a position when you didn't even know how to pray about something? You didn't know what to ask the Lord. Lord, I'm confused. I see these circumstances and I don't even know how to ask you to work. He says, we know not how to or what to pray for as we ought, But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Dear young person, he knows your struggles. He knows what's going on at school. Maybe some of you here come from a difficult situation in a home or in a meeting. The Lord says, I know those things. And he wants me to realize that he's given me the person of the Spirit of God to live in me, to carry me through those difficulties, not to see me sink down into discouragement, to disillusionment, and the ways that the enemy works. Others will help us develop this.
I'm just wondering about this reckoning that you brought before us in verse 18. And as we've considered the week and even this morning and the challenges that we are facing with carnality and all of these things, that is this battle that's going on. And then now Chuck just brought us into this condition where there's challenges in our lives, in our at school, and there's and or in the workplace, and or in the home assembly, or wherever they may be. We're faced with challenges. Let's go back to verse 18 and see all of this that is at work in this world. And what's he saying to us in verse 18? Because there's another reckoning here, another consideration that is given to us, I believe, that is a huge encouragement for us as we walk in this scene, led by the Spirit of God. He would direct us to what is to come. Regardless of what the sufferings are, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, but it's a reckoning of reality of what the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, would set before us. And what is that? That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And this really expands as we consider the thrust and the emphasis of this verse, that in us, for us, to us, how this glorification that will be revealed and what we will come to know even as we're known. He sets eternity before us. He sets our hope before us. He sets all that Christ has, that he has claimed for us in blessing, even both now and in the eternity to come. And I just say this for our encouragement, because he has given us so much more that is helpful for us now. And he sets our sights on the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. He sets our sights in heaven, in glory, that which is to come, what shall be revealed to us. And what a blessing for us, brothers and sisters, young people, set these things before us. It's an encouragement and help as we go through the challenges of today.